Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. Today's guest on the show today is Paul Safis. He has an extensive background doing corporate account management, strategic sales engagement, a lot of business development types of stuff. Today, he is the principal at Bolster, which is representing a software tool that helps those of us who are looking to sell something land conversations with the right prospects. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Thomas. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, good. I appreciate you having me on.
Excellent. Is there anything in that introduction you would modify or add to for the listeners?
We can get into it. Bolster actually has relationships with several vendor companies. I think there was one when you and I spoke that you latched on for your audience. You thought it'd be best so we can focus
right
on that. But we work with several AI in sales partners.
Gotcha. So let's take a step back and talk about the problem and get us all in the audience to appreciate what the problem is. And so we're talking about prospecting. Let's discuss that for a minute.
Yeah. When we started Bolster in 2017, we focused on the question, can AI and machine learning and even automation really effectively help companies to have quality conversations with potential customers? And so we decided to focus on that, the top of the funnel, applying products or services that would help in that regard. And it broke into two sides of the same thing. So one side was some of the larger companies that we work with, their problem is they have a ton of inbound inquiries. People give them their information, they advertise, their web presence is huge, they have a huge marketing budget, and they have a lot of inbound leads, and they don't do a good job of managing them. So part of our business is helping them there. The other half is the opposite almost. It's, oh gosh, we're handling people who wander through our front door pretty well. We get to them quickly. We follow up with them. But we could just use some more warm conversations with people who don't know us. So that's really the other side of our AI business.
And have you discovered much in the side of AI, just in terms of AI opportunities? We'll get into specifically what you guys are building and offering. But in terms of being able to execute it well with artificial intelligence, where things are, there's no lost integrity in the process from using AI instead of a human to do those tasks. Are you finding optimistic results so far in that?
Honestly, Thomas, I would say I had more optimism. This is maybe a flaw in my character. In 2017, artificial intelligence certainly existed back then, but it was pre-2020 large language model, pre-ChatGPT. I honestly thought things would progress faster. Now, with that said, is there not good stuff out there that works? Absolutely, there is. But to answer your question, not everything works. And I would say that today in 2025, the thing you have to be a little bit careful of with AI, especially in actual customer interaction, is AI doesn't still do a great job with understanding context well. And it doesn't really have the full emotional intelligence that you and I have in an interaction. Does that mean it can't be an accelerator? Absolutely not. It can.
And so let's talk about some of these sort of CRM use cases, prospecting, getting into discussions with leads. Can you talk about some of the types of scenarios that you're coming across, right? A founder building a tool and they're trying to get it in front of people, or someone providing a service and trying to get buyers that are CEOs selling the service. Is it just across the board?
I find the problem is pretty widespread. In our early days, we did a little more enterprise work with big customers like Sutter Health and Logitech. And they had that problem of we've got too much coming in. But the greater problem, as you say, is medium, small, even startup enterprises, people who build products, people who have SaaS products. They have a great product. And a lot of times the CEO is their best developer. But it's very difficult. All the standard kinds of ways, we call them normal, right? And there's nothing wrong with the normal ways, sending emails, having newsletters, blogging, posting, liking, doing SEO, cold calling, all that stuff is hard. And you've really got to kiss a lot of frogs to get people to pay attention to a smaller entity, right? Doesn't mean your product isn't fantastic. It's just you need to get the word out in a more effective way. And we're not trying to replace all those normal things. We always say, if something's working, if cold calls are working, great, keep doing it. This is the stuff that we provide is really unique and incremental meetings that are booked.
So when a company engages with Bolster, what kinds of things can they expect? Is it, do you just start off with a discovery period and then prescribe an approach and then they start seeing results? Walk us through what folks can expect in that process.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's exactly that. Really, what we're looking for from a Bolster standpoint is to engage in a conversation first. And the reason is we don't have, there's not a Bolster product. We don't have one thing that, hey, everybody needs this. It's exactly perfect for everybody. So we end up having a conversation about how they're communicating with their prospects and their customers. And if there are any problems, sometimes there's not, that's fine. We finish up being friends. But we really need to have a little bit of consultation. And then if there is a potential match with one of our partner companies that are under contract with us, it doesn't cost the client anything more to the fact that we help them discover it versus them going direct to the company. It's like a travel agent. You don't pay more for the trip. They get paid on the back end. So we definitely do. In fact, even if you look at our website, it really is almost like a giant blog post. It discusses AI in sales. It's designed to make people just curious, but it doesn't necessarily answer a question for a company. It's more to say, hey, this would be an interesting conversation to have on this topic.
One of the things that I notice over the years being in business and trying to get leads is what works changes. Yeah. So if we want to go really ancient, maybe in the 90s, then physical mail worked for a while, then email when that was a newer thing, so on and so on. And then up to LinkedIn, there was an age where it worked to give someone like a cold LinkedIn email. It still can work, but just less, way less often than it used to. So to what extent are you having to constantly find and explore and change the way you see this whole landscape of getting leads for people?
Yeah, no, I think about this a lot, and we don't refresh our list of partners often because we find things that work and we stick with it, but I am always looking for what is the next thing. And today, you could argue that we should have a replacement for a, whatever you want to call it, a sales development rep or a business development rep or a phone salesperson or something like that. I think there are some products out there like that, but honestly, we've looked at them at the current state and we feel like they might be a little bit offensive. The product that I think you were most interested in discussing is really an Evernetworking.
Paella?
No, actually,
oh, okay.
The one that you and I thought was best when we spoke is a automation for, it's basically an Evernetworking technology.
Gotcha.
It is a combination of a product and a service. It's with a company that we've been with since 2019. Probably 70% of our clients have this. They may use something else that we've also suggested, but it's a no-brainer because it does use LinkedIn. And as you say, LinkedIn can be crowded just like everything else. Email is incredibly crowded, but LinkedIn done the correct way for a small business or a startup, it can really work if it's done correctly. And you can really get a lot of those kinds of introductory meetings booked on the calendar that a lot of these folks need, right? They just need to tell their story. They can't afford to advertise on the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So can you tell us a story about a founder or a business person. You can be as detailed or as not as you want to be, but where they just really were in a situation and then a problematic, they're just not getting what they want at all, and how you guys were able to implement solutions that changed that and what that change looked like.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. We have a recent customer where the service is a consulting service themselves. I think they do some software solutions, but the founder is an expert at a very specific kind of change management process and a very specific set of tools that go along with that. And so we ended up having a conversation with their business development rep, and they've done kind of all the normal things. They've done email and blogging and cold calling. I'm not sure, by the way, just Thomas, when you talk about cold calling, I'm not sure who answers their mobile phone when they don't phone number these. Right. You talk about things are changing. Maybe people used to go, hey, who is this? I want to talk to you. I'm not sure they're doing it as much anymore when you get all these foreign calls that aren't identified that come to your cell phone. So they were doing all the normal things. And this guy is actually a famous person in that narrow field. So people who were in the field or professors would identify his name. But he still had trouble getting introductory meetings just to talk about the consulting service. The kind of the Ever Networking product that we talked about is something that uses LinkedIn chat to personally reach out to people that, in his case, was very specific to his ideal customer profile. We're not trying to talk to all of LinkedIn. We're talking to people that have the best chance at being interested in what he's doing. And the company that I work with is extremely good at deep searching, Boolean searching on LinkedIn. And some people say LinkedIn communications are crowded. I would argue they're not as crowded as email. When you look at your email spam box stuff that you never opened, it is just jammed with way too long communications that drawl on about the company and the person's life history and how many awards they've won and all that. And that is not how you communicate on LinkedIn. Communicating on LinkedIn chat is really about engagement. They go for engagement first. They don't even bring up business first. And then if it makes sense, the automation will go forward. It'll bring up some business topics. As soon as someone that's part of this product that runs in the cloud, software product, and this service, because there's human beings that are on the other end of it, if someone becomes engaged, the automation stops. And a person who knows the company, knows the founder, knows what they want to accomplish, right? They're not going to like close a deal or whatever for them, but they know what they do and how they do it and what their brand voice is, will jump into the conversation, jump into the LinkedIn conversation, pick it up, and make a human judgment as to whether this would be a good introductory call to have with the company, the client company. So if yes, they get the meeting booked, and the company, they can see what's going on if they want to. They can go into the software. They can track the conversations. They can see the statistics. But if they were to go, you know, let's say they were traveling and they went 3 weeks without even looking at the software, it doesn't matter because it's a done-for-you service, and they'll just keep it going. They'll keep the conversations going. They'll manage the things that hit you every single day. You won't have to respond to people who are hitting you all through the day, and they'll keep the campaigns up and running. It's the best of automation, AI, and humans.
Right. So you're using humans to make sure that the conversations remain realistic and engaging. Is that?
That's exactly right. They use generative AI, right? Which is, of course, the buzzword these days. But they use it in a very supervised manner to make themselves more efficient, because a single account manager knows your account, but they also have other accounts they have to work on, right? So they have to move quickly and efficiently. They'll use generative AI to come up with a response, but they don't just let it fly, right? They will edit it heavily. Often they will delete it completely because it stinks. Maybe they'll decide just to freeform write their own, right? But it's an assist to them. But they could technically let the entire Thomas conversation, the two-way conversation back and forth that's happening on chat, on LinkedIn, they could automate that entirely with generative AI. But I guarantee you it's a disaster, right? They've played with it. It's horrible just because of the things I said before. Someday maybe it
Nuances, tiny nuances in the way people actually talk.
Makes a difference. And you and I talking, we have, like I said, the emotional intelligence to know what the other person is thinking. AI just isn't quite there yet. And it might, we're huge AI enthusiasts. It may be there someday. We're tracking it very aggressively. But today, I wouldn't let it loose.
Yeah, I don't even know, just a side thing. I don't 100% know that it'll ever get perfectly there. Does it just asymptote to a very close level? Because human context, there's just so much that you have to have like built-in empathy. It's not just a statistical problem of he said this combination of words, so therefore the most appropriate I need to respond with this combination. Sometimes it's just reading things, and it's one of those challenges.
Yeah, and I think people are getting better at, with the rise of ChatGPT, people are getting better at identifying when that was generated. And there are products out there now that we're familiar with. We're not really working with them because I don't think they're ready. They're products that are multi-channel products, and they will, you put in a list of names and they'll call them on the phone and have a voice talk to them, and then they'll hit them on LinkedIn, then they'll send them endless emails. And I think people, although those are pretty new, I think people are going to get tired of those pretty quick too. If you're getting bombarded by something that feels a little artificial, I think you're not going to go for that.
So what you guys are doing is you're leveraging the AI to do some of the connection and that stuff, but you quickly pass it off to a human at the junctions where it's appropriate to have a human.
That's exactly right. And the very first incarnation of AI, LinkedIn itself, because this is a software platform that runs next to LinkedIn Sales Navigator or one of the premium subscriptions to LinkedIn. LinkedIn itself has done a better and better job lately of using artificial intelligence to help you find your ideal customer. So they lean on the search and the lever of the AI that's been put into LinkedIn in the last 5 or 10 years to help find the right people for you. But then it's their platform that really does the engagement. And it's, again, it's automation, a little bit of supervised generative AI, and
Supervised Gen AI.
good old-fashioned people that are making human decisions. And
Yeah,
the scale, it scales widely. It's as if you hired somebody to do this, maybe an intern to do this full time for $40,000 a year or something. It's doing a better job. It's doing it for cheaper, and they're professionals at LinkedIn. They're not somebody that just got into the workforce.
Well, so speaking of cheaper, what does the price point look like for this?
So it's really, I mean, they have a list price, and then they have a deal where if the client, they call it a psychological discount, which is humorous. If the client in their heart commits to trying this for 6 months, now, the reality is you don't sign a contract for 6 months. It's paid monthly and you can cancel anytime, like your Netflix subscription. But they say, if you, in your heart, decide to try this for 6 months, we'll drop the price down to less than $1,000 a month. And that's for everything. So that's for the onboarding process, the biweekly meetings that you have, the human assistance in finding the right customers. So you're comparing 40K for a intern to 12K a year if you used it for a year, and it does a much better job of doing that grunt work. It's grunt work to do that activity. It's exciting at first for a young person to maybe take on that job, but they get pretty bored pretty fast, and they're looking for another job pretty quickly, and the company has to train somebody all over again to
Right.
communicate correctly.
So this is good stuff. So what else do you want people to know about Bolster and anything that you're working on?
Ah,
Yeah,
well,
yeah. How's
you know,
Do
I
you want to
appreciate
mention
that.
Paella? We don't have to get
We
okay.
can. We can. I appreciate that. I think that's what we first started with, and then we decided,
Yeah.
you know, your audience might be more interested in the AI
Yeah.
part of our. So we've done the AI in sales, just to be clear, for 8 years now. It's been fantastic, and we've made a lot of customers successful out of the gate. The thing that we're trying this year, Thomas, is Paella. It's both an acronym and a Spanish rice dish. And fundamentally, it's different
Yeah.
than the AI in sales. It's basically having a human AI whisperer on retention. So either myself at Bolster or some of my cohorts have decided that they would extend themselves to be a on retention provider, where a customer who's just trying to solve not only sales, but any business problem, really, they can dump a problem on us. We'll give them kind of an estimate, like we'll have this back to you in 2 hours or 2 days or 2 weeks. And we will use multiple AI models in a number of different ways, correctly, the way that a lot of people just don't know how to use them. And what we may deliver back to them as an answer to their question, it could be a spreadsheet, it could be a PDF report, 10-page PDF report, or the answer to their question could be three bullet points at the end of the day. Do these three things and you've solved your problem. It just depends. So we work on logistics problems. We work stuff that's more complicated than asking ChatGPT, what's the capital of Monrovia? It's
Right.
complicated business execution problems. That's Paella.
Excellent. Excellent. We've been talking with Paul Sathis of Bolster and Paella. And what's the best way for people to reach out to you and find you?
So I'm definitely on LinkedIn, Paul Sathis or Paul Sathis Bolster. The website is, I couldn't get Bolster, so I got Bolster Co., like Bolster Company,
Yeah.
bolsterco.com way back then. And that greets you with a split between looking at the AI for sales or looking at the paella part. So.
Nice. Good stuff. Paul, thank you so much for sharing all this with us and coming onto the show.
Thanks again for having me. Great to see you.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.